Aaron so
could probably teach you some things.
Aaron, is that true?
Jamie,
stop it.
Oh my God.
We both use gummies.
I know, but like you made it sound like I'm a drug dealer.
Oh, okay. We'll take that out.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, timestamp. In terms of the gummy enthusiasm both of you have, do you portray yourselves in your head like as better than people who smoke marijuana?
No, just more economical, more financially sound.
Well, I mean,
less damage to my lungs.
It's also legal.
Right.
Sure. Yeah.
We don't live in a state where marijuana.
Aaron, you're
is
getting
legal.
Very defensive. I would just say, please put your hands down. That was just a question.
I don't want to do any of
she
this.
She doesn't want to defend marijuana.
I don't want to do any of this right now.
I've never heard a quote better summarize what you on this show. I don't want to do this.
I don't want to do this.
Hello and welcome to episode number 555 of the podcast. I'm your host, Knox McCoy.
And I'm your other host, Jamie Golden.
The podcast is a show dedicated to delightful idiocy, and we're committed to educating you on the things that entertain but do not matter.
To find out more about these mediocre pursuits, check us out at knoxandjamie.com. You can also find us on Instagram and Facebook at The Popcast, and we're on Twitter at PopcastPod.
Thanks for joining us this week as we are going to be talking about pop culture that is mid.
But before we do that, Hallmark and every retailer ever created is screaming at us that it's Mother's Day this week. And as a reminder, moms want to be left alone on Mother's Day to wander around Target or a library or a garden center, or they just want to sit in their hot car drinking their treat drink and scrolling TikTok. Also, as a reminder, you do not have to like your mom or even be a mom to also do any of these things. I bought myself a necklace for Mother's Day and it arrives tomorrow. I'm very proud of myself because I am a mother to my two Star Wars themed appliances in my house, R2-D2 and Princess Freya. Okay, but also, we have updated and expanded our mom quiz where you can learn which kind of mom are you. Now, this was birthed out of the theory that we had that moms are either a Taco Bell mom or a Chick-fil-A mom, but after intentional reflection and study, we have learned that some of you are even weirder than that. I see you old country buffet moms. Now, Knox has expanded the quiz to nail even more folks to the wall, so you can head to knoxandjamie.com/yomama. The link is in the show note to update your classification. Erin, have you taken the mom quiz?
I have.
What did you get?
Embarrassingly, I am on the nose a Chick-fil-A mom.
Yeah, you are.
That makes sense.
You go to Chick-fil-A every day.
I do go to Chick-fil-A every day for breakfast.
Listen, Erin and I, Evan came to town. We had a breakfast meeting at a restaurant she suggested that makes great breakfast. And when she got there, she was like, I'll just have a coffee. And we were like, what? And she was like, I forgot. And I've already eaten my Chick-fil-A breakfast.
I forgot we were having a meeting. I know.
Did you do the thing? Like the little kid thing where you bring the fast food to the fancy restaurant.
No,
you're like,
no,
I need to
I
have
already
my good
eaten
food.
It in my car.
I know.
So, which I do every day.
Listen, so we want you to find out what kind of mom. Listen, there's some new categories. I did get Bucky's mom. I am very excited about that. It fit perfectly. And while you're there at knoxandjamie.com/yomama, you can also snag our Celebration of Motherhood audio bundle, which includes three episodes, Momsters in Pop Culture, Moms I'd Like to Friend, and The Nose of Motherhood. Again, head to knoxandjamie.com/yomama or click the link in the show notes.
This podcast is brought to you by eHarmony, the dating app to find someone you can be yourself with. Why doesn't eHarmony allow copy and paste in first messages? Because you are unique, and your conversations should reflect that. eHarmony wants you to find someone who will get you. How are you going to know who gets you? If people send you the same generic conversation starters, they message everyone else. Conversations that actually help you get to know each other. Imagine that. Get who gets you on eHarmony. Sign up today.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
All right, Jamie, we are here to talk about pop culture that is mid. And the reason we're doing that is because there was a fascinating article. I'm going to call it a piece so we sound fancy. There's a fascinating piece in the failing New York Times. It was called The Comfortable Problem of Mid TV. It was written by James Pony Wozik. I'm sure I'm pronouncing that correctly. Kind of a iconic TV cultural critic.
I follow him on Twitter, and he has the best takes.
That's right.
All the time. Yeah.
That's right. So when he writes about something existential like mid TV, it feels like appointment reading. You and I both read it. We thought it would be a great foundation for this conversation. And I'll summarize it real quick so you don't have to read it if you haven't already or don't feel like you have to understand what we're talking about. Essentially, what Pony was is saying is a couple quotes from the article. He says, "What we have now is a profusion of well-cast, sleekly produced competence. We have tasteful remakes of familiar titles. We have the evidence of healthy budgets spent on impressive locations. We have good enough new shows that resemble great old ones. We have entered the golden age of mid-TV." Two examples he uses is Pin 15 in Atlanta as like, this is what used to be good. And then he uses the collision of Donald Glover and Maya Erskine on Mr. Smith as like, this is now the mid TV that we have, the problem that we have, which I didn't necessarily feel was warranted. Did you feel like that example was warranted?
No, but I did notice that all the examples he gives, Mr. and Ms. Smith, Poker Face, The Diplomat, and Hijack, I've greenlit all of those.
Okay.
What does that say about me? And you know what it says about me? Listen, I know I'm mid. Like, I do not deny it. I'm a proud mid person. But I think it's a numbers game. I just think we have too many things that are still coming out. And so organically, it's like, I think everything's mid. Like, do you know what I mean? I think there's probably like 16 shows that aren't mid and they were nominated for Emmy. Listen, the 16 shows that were nominated for Best Drama and Best Comedy, we greenlit all of them but one, which was House of the Dragon, because it is also mid. And so, but like, those are great. Like The Bear and Abbott Elementary, like those are great shows. But like a lot of shows are mid, and that's okay. Is that okay?
Yeah, you know, I think so as a lifelong devil's advocate, the second you write, anytime anybody does anything, says anything, anytime any of you talk, either of you in this episode, first thing my little lizard brain starts doing is be like,
Really? I've never noticed that.
Don't be sarcastic. Don't be rude. It's annoying. And I have done a lot to not be that person. It still gets out most of the time. Sometimes it doesn't. But I started reading this and I was like, I don't think I agree with that. He made some very compelling points. I think he said something to the extent of, he said, what we have today is something less awful, but in a way more sad. The willingness to retreat, to settle, to trade the ambitious for the dependable. I do think the conversation of comfort versus ambition is kind of what we're talking about when we talk about mid. And I think you alluded to it. He said, because I was looking for like, what's the culprit or what's the solution? He didn't seem to really solve either, not that he needs to, but he said it's a rising level of talent and production competence and the pressure to deliver things people already like. So that's why we get a lot of mid. I think prior to reading this, if someone would have asked me, like, are we in an era where everything's very mid in terms of TV? I don't think I would have answered yes. Would you have answered yes?
I think I wouldn't have until I went to, in my notes app, I keep this list of things like that I need to keep an eye out, like if I can watch it or read it, just to kind of stay on track of like, where is it streaming? And I realized I had 28 shows to watch in April and May, like that were on a list. I'm not going to watch them all, but I went, oh, how many of these were great? And I was like, oh, not a lot of them. Like a lot of them are like, they're okay. They fall into that weird category of like, oh, this is okay.
Yeah.
But it's not like The Last of Us, or it's not The Bear. It's not Bridgerton for me. And so I go, those are things that I would take off work to binge. But like, I'm not taking off work to binge, you know, Sugar on Apple.
Sure.
It's like, I'm just like, it was good, but it wasn't. I wasn't like, that's amazing.
You know, the only reason I'm thinking about Sugar is because evidently they have some crazy twist that just got unleashed. And I was like, oh. Well, you are speaking my
language. Well, I got to go back. I kind of DNF'd in the
I know. It was Colin Farrell. It's Noir. Those are my two things I love. But then they're like this insane twist.
Okay. I love an insane twist.
I know. So I was like, you got me back. So I'm a sucker for that stuff. But I think part of me wondered, because as myself, you know, we've been on the record I think I started as an ageist. You took that and like really ramped it up. And now you're probably the residing ageist on staff here.
Hate the olds.
I'm a vocal champion of celebrating midness. You know, I've often said make mid movies great again. It's not MAGA. It's like
Red Notice. You're like Red Notice. Come on, let's go.
We got to celebrate these. We got to there is a place for these people.
Literally
at the table.
The most mid thing ever, both in title and in content.
But we need mid, right? Mid's important in terms of movies. We're talking about TV. I do think there's something to, it's not necessarily that we're the ratios off like the we're getting so much more mid than good. I think there's just so much stuff that the feeling of like the great TV, it's just obscured by the glut of just like meh kind of TV shows, you know?
Yeah. Yes.
Well, it's probably helpful for people listening if they're like, I don't exactly understand like what you're talking about when you say mid. Maybe we should define that before we continue on with this.
Okay, I will define it, but you're behind if you don't know what mid is. You know what it is. Deep down, you know, it's one of those few things that like, it just organically makes sense. So mid is a slang term. It's used to describe something or someone as mediocre or of middling quality, okay? It's sometimes used to insult people. Someone was looking for snacks in my cabinet, and they were like, your snacks are mid. And I was like, these are Trader Joe's. Mm. How dare you? These are amazing snacks, right? The word mid actually comes from, originally it was used in the early 2000s to talk about marijuana being middle grade. So people would say it's a mid grade. Marijuana. And so there's a tweet from Lost Soul from 2012 that said, sour diesel is mid. It's clear that you don't smoke, dude. And I was like, I don't even know what sour diesel is. That's so good. Is that coming to gummy? I don't know. And then in about the early 2010s, it started to be used in kind of a more general way to talk about anything that was mediocre. So Kendall Brown Searles tweeted, if you don't have that T.I. Fab or Yo Gotti mixtapes, your playlist is mid. And so we now just use it as a person can be mid, a snack can be mid, movie, songs. That Dua Lipa album, is it mid? It might be.
Her SNL episode,
I like the first half.
Mid.
SNL. Listen, why can't she just be the musical? Is it because she's supposed to be an actress? I saw Argyle. She's not an actress. What are we doing?
I mean, she came ready to play. That accent she does in the like 10 to 1 o'clock sketch. I loved it. Yes. It was fine. I just not for me. You know, this
not for
episode.
Me. Not for me.
You know, I think I thought there was a direct connection to the Jordan 1 mids to the pervasiveness of the slang mid, because from what I understand, the Jordan 1s, the mids, like they're not the high tops. They're like the underwhelming version.
Yes.
And I thought that's kind of where it proliferated, but it doesn't seem to support that in Urban Dictionary.
A lot of people who I got the slang history from dictionary.com, but it could be that the people who were using marijuana in the early 2000s were also wearing mid Jordans.
Okay. Maybe so. Yeah. I've never in my life heard anyone call marijuana like this is a mid marijuana. That's illuminating to
mid-grade,
me.
Mid-grade.
Yeah.
A mid marijuana. Well, but you also in 2000, you weren't using marijuana.
I will say though, in not my defense, in the opposite of that, everything I know about marijuana, I know from Pineapple Express. So that's the extent of my knowledge of marijuana.
Fair.
Okay.
Fair.
So that's the definition. Jamie, I think that's really helpful. I would say it's probably important to...
Listen, let me use it in a sentence. Sorry, I didn't do my last part.
Okay,
okay,
yeah.
Can I do that? Okay, so let me use it in a sentence. For example, how was your Mother's Day? It was mid. My kids insisted on waking me up at 6 a.m. to bring me cold coffee and a pancake that I could tell was the first one off the griddle. Right? That's a mid. That's a mid Mother's Day.
Okay.
Don't let your kid... If you're listening and you have a mother that you're going to celebrate, don't let the kids wake them up. Don't let them wake them up.
I would, I'm trying to, I think in my experience, well, I'm trying to understand if this is true, if this is just my experience. I feel like at a certain age, kids are like, I don't want to wake my parent up because when I wake my parent up, now we're going to talk screen time limits. We're going to talk like, you need to do these things. So they turn a certain age and they're like, everybody shut up. Let's keep this as quiet as possible. Let them sleep late. That's where we're at. we've been.
Erin, do people, do you have a mid Mother's Day?
You have
generally?
To, well, you know, I subscribe to the idea of like, you have to have a separate Mother's Day for your own. Like you have your own Mother's Day and mm-hmm. then you have the mother's observed Mother's Day.
Is that
for
a good
children.
Role model for your kids?
Yeah, I think it's a great role model.
Really?
Because I want my girls to grow up and have their own Mother's Day.
Yeah.
Separate from the one that their children observe if they decide to be mothers.
Because I think we are, we have a lot of issues in this country. There are a lot of issues so that need to be addressed. I think we need to talk about, what does Mother's Day apply to? Is it active mothers? Is it mothers who have mothered before,
you're
but they're not currently active?
Be careful.
I'm asking.
Be careful.
I'm asking the questions, guys.
You're stepping in it. You're
I'm just saying
it.
There should be a hierarchy of like, I have authority on this holiday.
It's
because I'm in the motherhood trenches versus last time my mother was 25 years ago. But you got to do all things I want to do.
Listen, my favorite thing on Mother's Day is when mothers post their kids and are like, the loves of my life. And I'm like, girl, I follow you year round. I know the truth.
No, this isn't true.
This is not true.
I'm in your text message, friends.
That's
I
right.
I know that this isn't
I'm
true.
I'm in your broadcast channel. You hate that third one. I know it.
Wow. Wow.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
So the weather's getting warmer, and I'm so excited to say goodbye to jackets and sweaters. And hello to dresses and tees. I'm so glad that I found Quince, because not only can I update my wardrobe for the long haul, but I can do it without spending a fortune. Even Penthouse Jamie, she's trying to save her cash dollars in this economy. But y'all know how I value quality, and I want to find timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic year after year. Now, Quince has just restocked their $40 linen wide leg pant, which I am super bummed to try. They have such a nice drape to them, and they're 100% linen, which means they'll be super breathable, and I'll feel like I'm wearing no pants at all, which is my preference. I'm also loving the look of the organic cotton gauze roll sleeve shirt, which is also $40. Guys, true story. Like, they have great pieces. I am obsessed with the cardigan I have and the sunglasses I have. The Leon sunglasses are dope. Their prices truly cannot be beat. All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands because they partner directly with top factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics. They cut out the cost of the middleman and pass that savings on to us. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/pop for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/pop to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/pop. Curious about how you can achieve smooth, natural-looking, long-lasting filler results? The Juvederm collection of fillers has 6 unique gel fillers that add subtle volume and are designed for different needs in specific areas of the face, like lips, cheeks, chin, smile lines, under eyes, and jawline. Ask your licensed specialist for a full face assessment today. And download the Allie app, that's A-L-L-E, the official loyalty program of Juvederm, to save on treatments and get a look that's true to you. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors, big, small ones, whether it's the stress that comes with planning a big event, having to redo the electrical in your entire house unexpectedly, or simply having to go on a picnic lunch when you'd rather be home pantless watching your favorite show. Stress is truly a universal experience that, if left unchecked, can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space where you can get things off your chest and work through anything that's weighing you down, big or small. I've truly noticed such a difference in my stress level since I started therapy years ago. Making it a priority and a consistent part of my routine has allowed me to relieve my stress in a very safe environment instead of bottling it all. As someone who has a hard time sitting in my feelings, it's given me the habit of reflection so I can identify and deal with stressors early on before they overwhelm me. BetterHelp is a convenient, flexible, and entirely online, making it easy to stay consistent. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/popcastpod today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp, help.com/popcastpod.
But I think that's good to use in a sense, because I think there's the casual definition of just like, this was not good. This is not bad. It's just meh, right? It's that mediocre, very broadly mediocre. I think there's also something maybe a little different, a little deeper about mid. And I think this is helpful in like, if you're trying to tell if something's mid, I think, cause that's a very broad definition that can get applied to anything. I think you got to look at the purpose, right? Like, what is the point of this? And I think something that's truly mid, it's not necessarily as much of it being mediocre as it never had the aim to be anything impressive, right? It's about like ambition. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like it
it's
wants
like where the bar.
Yeah. I think the bar is like comfortable, familiar, like an inch deep, but a mile wide. Okay. And I think for something truly mid, like it needs to have an expectation on it. Otherwise it wouldn't register. And I think when it underwhelms, that's when you know it's mid, right? Like if Aaron opened a restaurant that was like artisanal frozen bagel bites and like the European fusion of what's the cereal you like? Frosted mini wheats. Okay.
Yeah.
And like it didn't do well. I wouldn't call that mid. That's a swing, right? That's an attempt, right?
But she wasn't even trying to get it out of the park. She was just trying to.
No, she
like,
was.
I was. I was.
She was. All of her friends like and loved ones said this is a terrible idea, but she was like, but this is an idea. I'm trying something here. That's not mid to me, right? If she opened, if she like left here to run Cheddar's, like run to Cheddar's or an Olive Garden, I'd be like, that's mid. And that's okay. That's fine.
I would make that the best Cheddar's or the best Olive Garden in the franchise.
She would make it the best in the franchise. It would make so much money.
Aaron.
You got to understand that.
You are my friend.
You got to understand that.
I think you are so talented at so many things. You running a restaurant, I don't think is the key to your life.
I'm quitting my job.
How many times would she cry? In breadsticks or in a bottomless salad
what
bowl.
What better way to cry? That's, I
don't, you just sweat it out. You just sweat those tears out over the fryers. You know,
Olive Garden.
I did just want to circle back to One Inch Deep. I feel like that's always mid. Like just for the record, I just let that go, and I don't want to let it go.
No, I don't think One Inch Deep is not mid. I don't know what we're talking about with One Inch Deep. I think I know what you're talking about with One Inch Deep.
One Inch Deep.
I would argue that's not even mid. That's below mid.
Yeah, that's
right?
Below mid.
That's sub mid. Yeah. You know,
that's sub
mid. I think like to put it in more specific terms, I'd be like sweatpants are mid, kilts are not. Okay, Chris Pratt is mid, Tom Hardy is not.
Yes,
Jennifer Aniston mid, Zendaya is not.
Right.
Does that feel fair?
That feels very fair. Yes. No. Apologies to Jennifer Aniston, but make better choices.
It's true. Wow. I'm sorry. I don't know what to tell you, because like in sports, you have this thing called wins above replacement. And like value above replacement. And essentially what it's trying to get at is like, what's the most average player at this position? And like, if you were a better player, how much more valuable are you? So it has to set a middle point.
And what does the wind have to do with it?
The wins. Like I won the game. You thought like the wind blowing.
I thought it was like Gone with the Wind.
What's and,
like,
the El Nino have to do with
it? Could be. It could be. We don't know. That's a different stat. I don't know that one. But I wanted to set that for like actors and actresses.
That's good.
It's hard to do that. The best guess I had was like if we were doing a senior edition, I had Steve Guttenberg. He just feels like super mid.
Oh.
Doesn't mean he's a bad guy. Doesn't mean he's not done good stuff.
But that's generous. But like Police Academy, that's what gets him to mid. I think.
3 Men and a Baby. It's got a little bit of
life.
3
Men and a Baby. Yes. 3 Men and a Baby. Also.
I don't know if you heard, there's a ghost in that. You know, that's kind of interesting and impressive, Jamie. For the ladies,
The people that blog about those things, mid.
Exactly. Yes. Mid. Perfect. Yes. Perfect. For the ladies, I have the most mid actor right now, currently. I have Emma Roberts. How do you feel about that?
Yes.
Okay.
But
no pushback.
I don't think there's any moment where you see Emma Roberts in something and go, oh, yay.
Yeah. It's fine.
Think, oh, okay. This will be fine.
Maybe you could argue she's below mid, you know, like the 1 inch deep thing. Yeah. Maybe that's a different conversation. For the guys, I feel like this is the perfect one. So I'm going to be really upset if you disagree.
Okay.
I think Sam Worthington is perfect mid.
The most mid ever. Like, why are you in the biggest franchises, but yet you don't do anything else?
Literally nothing. Like, I don't understand what he brings to Avatar. He's like the equator of mid. It's insane, like, what's going on there. So those are some specific examples. Maybe we can get more specific and talk about, like, our different interpretations of mid and, like, what they mean.
Okay, so for me, I am going to stick with the theme of James from the Family New York Times and talk about shows. But I'm, instead of a specific show and being like, this is mid, I want to do a category of shows. And so my first category of shows is tricked by the ensemble.
Okay.
Right? You see this ensemble and you're like, oh my God, everybody cool is in that. It's going to be amazing. And then you watch Palm Royale and you're like, this was mid. It wasn't bad. The outfits were cool. Like, the vibe was cool, but the plot and script were not cool. Mm-hmm. And so it's a mid. I also would make a case, no offense to all the people who love Twinkle Lights in their backyard, but I would argue Parenthood, an ensemble that we were tricked into thinking, this will make great content. That guy from Chips is in it, and the girl from Gilmore Girls is in it. And I think we thought, oh, this will be great. The guy from Sports Night, we were tricked. I would also say Studio 60 in the Sunset Strip.
Don't you
dare. The ensemble.
Don't you dare.
Listen, I think when you watch it back, you're like, this ensemble is top notch, including even behind the camera. But then when you watch it, you're like, oh, okay. And then finally, the Super Bowl every year. It's just like, you think, this is going to be amazing. Look at all these cool people who are here. And then you watch it and you're like, this was fine. Like, it was good. Like, I'm glad I watched it, but I'm not like, God, I got to rewatch that Super Bowl.
What are the factors of the Super Bowl that are like, this is intensely mid for me? Is it about expectation? Like, I had expectations and it didn't meet expectations?
Like, I expect Usher to change my life. I want him to sing what I want him to sing. I want the commercials to be amazing. They rarely are. They're always a little, and so many of them come out ahead of time and you're like, I've already seen this. And then the sports teams, what are they doing? It's like, okay, this is rigged. Of course the Chiefs are winning because Taylor's here. It's just it all feels very, you know, even like the Star Spangled Banner, we're like, Reba, this was a mistake, you know?
Yeah. Now, to be clear, are you saying Reba McEntire's mid or the Star Spangled Banner is mid, or both are mid at the same time?
No, the Star Spangled Banner is less than mid. That is not a good song. Why would we make our song off of a British song? Why would we do that? That's the dumbest thing. We should have our own song.
Yeah.
I stand by Roy Wood Jr., who says we should let Bruno Mars sing the national anthem, and he should write it because he's every person in America in one person.
Yeah.
And I like that. And then I think Reba McEntire, also mid. Listen, tell me the TV show that she did that was amazing.
Okay, you know what, dog? She's not an actress. She's a singer, okay?
Yeah.
You're judging her by, like, I'm playing left-handed now.
How many albums? How many albums does Reba McEntire have?
I will.
And then I would like you both to go back and forth until one of you can actually get, at least who can name the most albums that Reba McEntire has made.
First of all, she has 32 studio albums, 26 compilation albums.
Name three of them. Name three of them without cheating.
Frickin' will. Reba McEntire is number one.
Listen, she's literally looking at the
Wikipedia. It doesn't matter.
It does matter.
In my heart, okay?
Everybody has a self-titled album. Taylor Swift has a self-titled
album. Fancy is another one.
Thank you.
In my heart, okay?
She's a Ginger Garth Brooks, okay? Yeah. Everyone knows it. Everyone believes it.
How dare you?
She is absolutely a Ginger Garth Brooks. He's absolutely right. You don't know what you're talking about. You're not even crazy. You don't even care about country music. Why are you being so mean about Reba?
But I'm not saying Reba's bad. I just said she's mid.
But the way you're saying it, Jamie, is in a bad way. It's a very negative way. It's hateful.
You're so mean about it.
I like her album, Rumor Has It, where she dresses up like a Disney villain, but also with like a big Kentucky Derby hat.
Why does she look like Cruella in Italy? Like, on a break?
Why would she not?
I know immediately what that album cover looks like. It's like orange. Everything's orange on Reba. So.
Wow. Shots fired. The best thing you said.
You don't mean she's mid. You are hateful.
No, I don't hate her. Fancy. I love Fancy.
No, you don't.
I do.
This is just like Taylor. This is just like freaking Taylor.
Is Jamie gaslighting people on like who she likes and who she doesn't like?
Please don't encourage the Swifties.
Jamie, do you think gingers are mid or are they like something?
Gingers are not. They're not even mid.
They're one inch deep. I like it's like good, mid, one inch deep.
They need more anesthesia. Stop trying to be special. I hate it.
The best thing you said was that Bruno Mars should do the national anthem or
well, Roy Wood Jr. said that. I just stole that from him.
Right. You quoted. So you quoted it in Roy Wood.
I give him credit.
The guy, a guy with like a bad coke habit and like millions of dollars in debt to gamblers is the perfect person to do our.
But he's tiny and he can dance.
He is. Like, I'm saying that it's admiringly. Like,
what if he was dressed as Uncle Sam while he sang the song?
Is Uncle Sam still cool?
Raise like, your cool with Uncle Sam in the air.
I don't know.
For our national anthem.
What I wanted to give a good example of is Mid. And again, the way I try to evaluate it is somebody who tried something, but was extremely underwhelming in that pursuit. Okay. And so I'm going to say the Confederate States of America. I feel like intensely historically Mid. I'm reading, I think it's Demon of Unrest right now. It's the newest Eric Larson.
Oh,
yeah. And the defensive coordinator for Remember the Titans, I think it was Will Patton. He's reading it.
Yeah.
And it's just, oh, it's magic. It's good stuff to have him audio booking, you know, your experience. Because when he has to go, like, sometimes he has a voice like a French girl who wrote a letter to her uncle about like the Confederates. And that is that's a vibe, man. I'm going to tell you that right now. I was reminded of the Confederacy and how they were like the original snowflakes because Lincoln gets elected and he's like, hey, no slavery vibes. I'm cool. Don't want to do it right now. And the Confederacy was like, well, this guy's insane. We got to get out of here because he's like so radical. And Abe's like, no, I don't even have my beard yet. So like, you guys know I'm cool. But I think for certain people, they're held up as like this tragic, romantic, revolutionary experiment that like doesn't get the respect historically that it deserves. So I was like, let's look at it. How long did it last? Okay. Something pretty successful should last a long time, longer than a presidential term. They did not.
Okay.
Right at 4 years. Okay. And it wasn't a great 4 years. For context, the Chiefs, speaking of the Super Bowl, the Chiefs dynasty has been for 4 years. They've won 3 titles. They've actually won something. The Confederates didn't. Ben and Jennifer Lopez, they've been together for 5 years. Okay.
That's embarrassing.
Which that feels wobbly. And let's get even worse. Machine Gun Kelly and Megan Fox have been together longer than the Confederacy.
That's so bad.
Okay? I don't know how else to insult them more than
how that. How mad is Jefferson Davis now?
It's tough. In terms of like the optics, like the aesthetics of the Confederacy, they ripped off the American flag. So no imagination for their flag. And then even after the Civil War, when they were trying to like keep it going, do you remember what their costume looked like? Either of you? Do you remember what it looked like?
Their
costume? It was KKK. It was just bed sheets. They just cut holes in them.
Yeah, it was bad.
And that was it. So I feel like that's very underwhelming. And then, and just, I think in terms of like what they were trying to do, which is like be an independent country, do you know how hard it is to lose a war where someone else has to come to your home field and like make you stop? You know, they're not like taking you out of it. They just had to like make you stop. And add to that, Lincoln had to fire 5 generals before he got to Grant. So like you had a 5 general head start. And like you still couldn't do it to win or even like get a stalemate so the Europeans would help you. So I just feel like it's intensely Mid, the Confederacy.
It's very Mid, although it was about states' rights. I do know that, even though it was just about states' rights to own people.
Jamie, it's heritage. It's not right. It's heritage. You know what I mean? So very Mid. Very Mid, the Confederacy.
Very mid. That's perfect. Okay. My other category of pop culture that is Mid, that's such a good example, and it breaks my heart every freaking time. And I'm about to tell you all these shows that I gave a green light to you in the history of the show. And it's the category is one incredible season and then no more. Like you wowed us. You came in so hot with that Killing Eve. It was amazing.
Yeah.
And then it was bad. Like it was bad and it just withered away. Like no, Jodie Comer's like, I'm on the motorcycles. I can't even be in the show anymore. Mm-hmm. Homeland, perfect example. God. Like I was like ready to go with Homeland. Awful. The Handmaid's Tale, Prison Break, Glee. Listen, Glee sucked after the first season. It did not. And then it was just like when you're trying to save whatever you're doing with Gwyneth Paltrow, like you're in a Mid situation.
What are you doing right now? What are you doing? Are you trying to trigger me? Are you trying to do like what's going on here? You're going after Rue McIntyre.
You
know I love Gwyneth Paltrow in Glee.
You're riding hard for Gwyneth?
You know I think she's a comedy genius when she shows up on Glee. You know that.
Listen, Heroes, Riverdale, 24. An honorable mention, I would make a case for The Walking Dead. That like maybe The Farm, I liked The Farm season.
Yeah.
But after that.
When they cut Herschel's head off, it was all downhill from there.
It was all downhill.
It really
was.
She comes
out of that barn and you're like, there she is.
There's that little zombie girl.
There's where she's been. You got to keep track of your middle schoolers, guys. They're going to be zombies.
Especially in apocalypse. It does feel like die a hero or live long enough to become the mid-villain, you know, where it's like you could have stopped and shown restraint and you would have been an iconic show, Homeland, Handmaid's Tale. But the longer you went, the more mid you got. And I feel like that's probably fair.
I get nervous about other shows like The Bear. Like, I'm like, I hope The Bear doesn't do that. Like, I hope they're able to keep going and it be okay. But maybe they can only go four seasons. Maybe they have to decide right now.
Did they book for four? Like, they're going four seasons? Is that
yes,
done?
Right now they're renewed up until a fourth season.
I'll get a little worried on four. Three feels right. You know, trilogies, et cetera.
Because look at Ted Lasso. Look at Ted Lasso. What's that ending? He ended up right where he started. That's not why. That's mid.
You could tell they were writing that show. They were on the internet too much, you know, being like, what should this be about? It should be about mental health, the soccer show. Great. Okay. That's not what I'm looking for Ted Lasso. You know, no. I want football's life. That's what I want.
Yeah. Let's break up this romantic couple that everybody loves. Let's break them up. That seems like a good idea.
Absurd. Another thing that I think is mid is, this is it's the experience of watching pro sports. Is very mid. And it's not because the athletes are not talented. They're extremely talented. They're incredible. It's not because the product isn't good. The product's excellent. It's that there's very little variable of interesting things happening. And I feel like it's becoming less and less. It feels like a foregone conclusion that certain teams are going to do well. So there's no like mystery. There's no insanity. And I kind of think the younger you get, the more variability there is. So I kind of think watching youth sports is the best sports experience because you have no idea what's going to happen.
T-ball is riveting.
Okay, T-ball, that's probably the exception there. T-ball's not riveting.
No, that when you don't know what that five-year-old's going to do, when they're going to just run forward to the pitcher's mound instead of running to first?
Thoughts and prayers right now because there are a handful of listeners who are the mothers of baseball players who are going to be in some godforsaken baseball tournament in Pisgah watching a 5-hour marathon because no one can throw strikes and that's how they're going to spend their Mother's Day.
Erin and I have a friend, she was posting on the internet at 10:45 p.m. at night being at a baseball tournament.
No.
And I was like, this is no way to live. No. This is a mid-life.
If chess has a running clock, baseball should also have a running clock. That'd be the best way to solve baseball is you need a running clock. Forget the innings deal. But I think like, it's more fun, like even watching college basketball this year, even watching college football, there's so much more variability that can happen, especially now with the NIL era, that it's more of a fun experience. Where to your point about the Super Bowl, Jamie, I mean, the second the matchup happened, I knew the Chiefs were going to win. Everybody knew the Chiefs were going to win. Forget it being rigged. We knew because Patrick Mahomes was there what was going to happen. And it's just not as fun of a product, unfortunately. You know?
No, it's like, that's why we really were glad Taylor was there because she made it more interesting.
That's right.
You know, because we were like, look at Blake Lively. What's going on with her hair? Who got those spiral curlers that she wore on the way to the stadium? Look at her.
Exactly.
Like, I watch sport. I don't know why I get so many sports clips. I feel like it's because of overachievers and like my phone is like, you want more of this, right?
Exactly.
And listen, I saw that guy, that basketball player, hit that guy in the face with a ball. I was like, now this is what I'm interested in.
Patrick Beverly. Yeah.
Okay, good. I didn't know his name.
He did apologize later. That woman he hit was like one of the most genuinely kind people in sports media.
Well, Aaron, he hit a woman and he was that was the best part. He hit a woman and then he was like, can I have that ball back? And he got it back and hit the person he was supposed to hit.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, that's objectively hilarious, to be honest with you.
That is so funny. I don't care who you are. That's a great clip. I love that.
Now, this was also a guy, he refused a post-game interview because she doesn't subscribe to his podcast. So he's like, give me that like and subscribe.
Listen,
and
maybe you got to say yes. Like, if I ask you, listen, and if you encounter me and Knox in the wild and we ask you, do you subscribe to our podcast? The answer should be yes. Always yes.
Knox would never ask that.
I would never. I would rather get hit by oncoming traffic than be like, do you listen to my podcast? If you've ever felt overwhelmed while trying to find the perfect gift for someone special in your life, then please take a knee. I'm here to put an end to your search. Songfinch lets you create an original radio quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and lasts forever. Here at the PMG, we want to put them to the test. Could they really create a song about anyone? Well, we'll let you all be the judge.
I am Pickles, the legless horse, but not legless for long. With all my friends by my side, I will find who the culprit was. Who stole my legs? Who stole my legs?
I don't know. I kind of feel like this needs to be our new intro song. You know, artist went above and beyond, and it was so fun to see what he came up with. He even took the time to ask us for more detail because he wanted to make sure he got the essence of pickles correct. It was such a fun process. Whether your song is for Father's Day, an upcoming graduation, wedding or anniversary, or even just a gift to show your loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in one of Songfinch's top artists. For a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free so you and the lucky person you gift it to can listen to it anywhere, anytime. Go to songfinch.com/podcast and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value. Again, our URL is songfinch.com/podcast. Don't forget to share your song with us too. songfinch.com/podcast.
Shrink the Box is back for a brand new season. This is the podcast where we put our favorite fictional TV characters into therapy. Join me, Ben Bailey-Smith, and our brand new psychotherapist, Namon Metaxas.
Hi, Ben. Yes, this season we're going to be putting the likes of Tommy from Peaky Blinders, Cersei from Game of Thrones on the couch to learn why their behavior creates so much drama.
So make sure you press the follow button to get new episodes as soon as they land on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts. Shrink the Box is a Sony Music Entertainment original podcast.
Okay, let's broaden this out a little bit. And I want to maybe talk about if we like have an individual unpopular opinion on something that is like, we'll invert it, like something that's traditionally seen as incredible or elite,
right,
but we actually think is kind of mid. What do you got, Jamie?
Okay, so sticking with the theme for me in this episode, I am going to say, and I mean this with my whole heart, and I'm going to say it with my whole chest, the West Wing is mid.
Oh my God.
Okay. Listen to me. Okay. Did it perfect the walk and talk? Yes. Did Aaron Sorkin know how to pack a punch in a political soliloquy? Of course. Was there misogyny, racism, and homophobia throughout the seven seasons? Yes. Was it progressive in branding only? Yes. Does it reflect a Democratic Party that now doesn't get anything done? Should they have rescued Zoe from the kidnappers? No, they should not. She should have died. Did Josh have more chemistry with Joey Lucas and Amy Gardner than he ever did with Donna? Yes. Did it feel like the show only focused on basically free trade all the time? We get it. You have a PhD in economics. We get it. You went to Notre Dame. Was CJ Craig and Charlie Young amazing characters with not enough to do? Yes. And were there stunning episodes? Of course. Two Cathedrals in the Shadow of Two Gunmen. Noel. Didn't we do that again? Noel. Bartlett for America. 17 people. Such a good episode. But on the whole, your memory of the West Wing is not based in reality. Listen, because a lot of you listening, you're going to come at me about this, and I'm going to be like, oh, did you listen 23 years ago? Were you watching it 23 years ago? It's sitting down every night, just hoping it comes on, or you might catch a repeat on TBS. Like, listen, it's just, it's fine. And it's like, but we, listen, if you just listen to the recap podcast with Josh Molina, you would know he didn't even like it. Like, he didn't even like, but he did not like that show. And he shouldn't have liked that show because his character was written very poorly. So, The West Wing, very mid.
Okay. And I follow up. Is this something you felt in the moment or something that you feel now in retrospect?
No, I definitely feel it. I felt it then because I kept going, like, that first episode where, like, he's with a sex worker and there's the beeper. Like, I was like, oh, this is fun. But then it was just like, well, these four characters are just the same guys. Listen, every time at the beginning, because I would always be like, and you have to know, I was in college and grad school at the time. And so every time I would hear them be like, we have to behave like men. And I'd be like, they need more women in this White House. And to be fair, they did. They did need more women in that White House. And so it was just a lot of guys being boomer guys, like, and behaving like boomer guys. And I didn't love it then. And I don't.
At what point did you, like, what season did you tap out on watching West Wing?
Well, I definitely left after Aaron Sorkin, but I went back and watched those seasons when he left because of, you know, a pending drug problem, and being mad about all the things, and Rob Lowe leaving and for money, and being mad at the network. But I was really out after season three.
What does pending drug problem mean? That sounds fun. Like,
well, no, he was no longer sober.
Oh,
while
he I thought he was like, guys, I feel like I'm going to get addicted to cocaine. You should probably go. This is going to get weird.
I know. Well, that probably was like from day one. Like, you know how I'm writing all these all by myself? It is the cocaine. Yeah.
No, that makes sense. I will say free trade is kind of a big deal, you know, just like economically
speaking. But it's not
speaking.
The only thing we could be talking about.
I'm not saying it is. I'm just saying it is kind of a big deal.
We get it, Jed. We get it. You have a PhD in economics, okay?
Tariffs are bad. Generally, free trade is good, you know, in terms of the economy. Aaron, do you have one, like, off the top of your head?
Yeah, I do. It's not a TV show. Is that okay?
It's totally fine. I did the Confederacy, so we're good. We're covered.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. Mine is freaking Paris.
Oh, like, yeah. Let's go.
Like, I mean, you're like, fine. You have cheese and baguettes, although you can't say that's just yours. That's all of France, yeah. Which I like France, but Paris, you in particular, are truly repugnant. Like, Paris is filthy with garbage, and the river stinks like putrid fish, and there's so much traffic. And just because this is the Olympics doesn't make it better. Your city motto should just be like a sneer and an eye roll with a little dirty cigarette hanging out of its lip.
Sure.
And then Americans are like, that's just part of its charm. No, it's not. You're being gaslit. And then you act like you like being gaslit because it's happening in French. And then you're not better than everyone else because you like being verbally condescended to in a language you Duolingoed for 100 days in a row to be respectful to a culture. Okay, Mona Lisa, I could have seen it in a book and it would have been fine. And also, it technically isn't French. Give it back to the Italians, you miscreants. And then the Eiffel Tower, they don't even like it. Mm. Okay, and they should be embarrassed that it was like the preferred American dorm decoration 20 years ago. And I know a lot of you are like, oh, you went with a bunch of American teenagers and you don't understand the real Paris and you have to become Paris. Shut up. Paris is fine. Yes. Like, the awnings on the cafe are cute and I like the crepes. If I can crawl over the street refuse to get to them.
Listen.
Wow. It's a fine city with a visible rat presence and a popular tourist area that also happens to be a historical sex worker district. Stop acting like it's the New Jerusalem. Like, it's gross.
Listen, truly the meanest I've ever been treated in any city in the world is Paris.
It's so awful.
And I wasn't acting like a stupid American. I learned all the things, all the phrases that I needed to know. I learned all the things. Like, when you walk in, you have to say bonjour. And then when you leave, you have to say bonjour again. Like, whatever.
The meanest person in Paris to me was a Louvre docent. And I spoke French to him and he looked through me like I was nothing. I was like, you're supposed to be nice.
Why are you making our Olympic swimmers swim in the river?
Yeah, why disgusting. Are you doing that? They're going to get MRSA.
It's so disgusting.
I didn't know they were doing that. Do you feel like when you speak like French to them, they're like, you're trying too hard? I'd rather you just speak American.
No, it should be. Look at them making an effort instead of just coming in and being like, is this like a bucky?
Can I have a French fry? Wee wee.
But see, is the neediness to be like, I did learn the French so I could say it to you.
We did the thing you wanted us to do. But you know what they do? They're in the rest of France. They're like, oh my gosh, like, thank you for like trying to make an effort. Yeah. We're cool. We're not a-holes. Yeah. Like the rest, you're like, you're fine. You're not that great, Paris. Whatever. You have lights. Great. Amazing. Listen, we all have lights now.
Listen, and you know who's going to be the maddest? Right now, if you're listening, and when Notre Dame caught on fire and then you posted about your trip to Notre Dame, because you were like, oh, I remember going there in 2000.
You remember going to the wood structure?
You're the worst. Like, you're actually the worst. Don't add us. Like, unfollow us. Don't do that. Like, come on.
Is Paris like those restaurants where they're intentionally rude to you and you like it?
Yes.
Is that Paris?
But you shouldn't like it.
You shouldn't like it.
It's like, what is your what's your kink?
Listen, those baguettes were delicious.
You know what's funny?
Yeah. Those croissants were delicious.
According to Google, the French didn't even invent baguettes. That's Austria.
Oh, see, that is very French.
That's very French to just steal it.
I think that's a very Parisian thing to do. And I think it has been subsumed. And people assume that French is Parisian, but Paris is different. And it's fine. It's fine. There are lots of rats.
And good luck getting that river cleaned up. I noticed that the AP had reported that their huge water storage basin will clean up the Seine in time.
Oh, will it? Will it?
You had to cancel all your swimming events last year because the river was still disgusting. So good luck.
That's a crazy move. Just be like, we're going to do the Olympics in the river.
Oh, that's just like Paris to be like, we're not going to swim in pools. We're going to swim in the river.
We're going to swim in our river.
No.
Thomas Jefferson lived here. Gross.
I will not stand for the carbohydrate appropriation. That's very offensive. I won't either. To me, no. Honestly. So.
I won't either.
It was a guy named August Zhang, which is a great inventor name.
Good job,
we love
Zhang.
You, August. We love you.
incredible. Way to go. Baguettes are great.
1839. According to AI, which not I don't even know, honestly, if it's telling me the truth. I think that's good. I think that's a good clarifying conversation on mid. So I feel like we've really helped some people. So if you thought...
If you hate Paris, it's Aaron at Knox.
That's right.
Suck it. I don't care.
Let her know. KnoxandJamie.com/555. All right, Jamie, you want to do some lights?
Let's do some lights.
All right. What is your red light this week?
Okay, my red light this week is going to the movies. Okay, listen, hear me out. Movies are underperforming at the box office, okay? And we talked about it in The More You Know. And it sucks because the problem is the box office is a primary metric that determines which movies get made. And we want to see lots of great movies get made. But the problem is I went to the movies this weekend and I thought through, because I have an AMC, you know, membership. So it's just, I go to the movies and it's just a mysterious amount of money, right? Because I just have it as one of my tickets and I can see all the movies all the time, right? But I thought about what would it cost a couple with kids to go on this date night that I was on? And I did the math. Each ticket would have been $22, $22 with tax. So a couple would have paid $44 just for the tickets into the film. And then we got a popcorn, two drink and two candy combo. And that was $41 in addition. $41. And then if you pay the average rate for a babysitter in America, the average rate for a babysitter is $20 an hour. You will have a minimum of 3 hours. And that's if you live within 10 minutes of a movie theater. Okay. So your date night will cost $145 plus gas and time spent getting ready and any food that you end up getting the babysitter to get for your kids, unless they happen to be a sous chef. So for me, if you're wondering if Hollywood is listening, it's because you have priced us out of having date nights and girls' night at the movies. It's just too expensive to take a risk. And to studios, I would say, you are also the problem because you have convinced us I don't need to go see Dune 2 because in 45 days I can watch it at my house. And so that's also a problem of like you have trained us and you need to get out of that if you don't want that to be an issue of us not going to theater. Because you're going to blame us and be like, they're lazy. They didn't come back after the pandemic. No, maybe it's the experience at the theater is not great. Also, I have some comments about 16-year-old Austin who can never scan my QR code. And I have issues with him. And so I think it's the whole vibe of the theaters is the problem and the cost, obviously.
Yeah, I think the industry is probably on the cusp or maybe already of going through the shift of closing down the excessive amount of theaters, but also reckoning with the ticket prices. And it's not that I'm happy about it. It's just, I understand why the food cost is so high because that's how they make their money. And I understand why the studios are jacking up ticket prices because that they're trying to make their money back because of all these big budgets, but we're due a correction. Otherwise, they're going to continue to see it at the box office and not be able to finance future movies, you know?
Yeah, because not everybody can do more than one of these nights a month. So they don't see the value in getting a membership. And also, like, the closest theater to my house does not have a membership program. And so, like, I can't even go to the one that's closest to my house because I can't get the incentive that I can get by going to an AMC that's 2 miles farther, you know?
Yeah, yeah. My red light this week is... I don't understand why people would do roasts, you know, for 500th episode, we were talking about, let's do a roast, let people roast us. And they were like, no. That's a terrible idea. Why would we do that? No. Who is mentally strong enough to do that? Maybe Tom Brady, maybe not after watching a little bit of his roast on Netflix, which I like how they're experimenting with live event stuff. Like, I think John Mulaney's Everybody's in LA. That was fun to watch. I think I just watched the first one. I don't know what's available at this point. But that was fun. The roast, it was also live. I did not watch that live. But Kevin Hart hosted. And at one point he said, "What an idiot. Why did you do this?" And right. That was kind of the vibe, especially if you're not going to have better reaction faces, you know, because it would just be like something savage about Giselle having sex with their karate coach. And Kevin Hart essentially being like, she never got above a white belt, but she had 8 lessons a day, Tom. What did you think was happening? And it was just cut to Tom. And it was just cow-eyed, nothing face. And like, you've got to be ready to play or like, you know what the deal is or just don't do it. So I don't know why he would do it.
Now, to be fair, it wasn't a nothing face because that face has been chopped up by a plastic surgeon just a tad. So that's
a look. It was something. It was a look of... resignation and no reaction. So I just, and I told you guys this, it's a 3-hour roast. I don't know that we need a 3-hour roast, no. You know, and I know we're roasting other people like through it, you know, we're roasting other comedians, we're roasting Kim Kardashian, so like that. But like, man, I just, it made me think of these three notable public figures, okay. Which do you think is more likely to do a roast first? Okay.
Okay.
I'll give you Kanye West. I'll give you Donald Trump. I'll give you Taylor Swift. Which of those three is going to do it first?
Oh, I don't think none of the above.
On an infinite timeline, one of them has to do it first. Who is it going to be?
It would have to be Kanye. Yeah. Because Kanye would just be arrogant enough to be like, I can take it. Like, it's no big deal. And then he would throw punches in the middle of the race.
I think they would get violent. Only thing I can think of is Taylor Swift gets to a point where Tree Payne's like, you need to do this for your image. This would chill everybody out a little bit. Like Justin Bieber did a few years ago when it turned on him. That's the only thing I can think of. Otherwise, I don't know why she would do that.
Yeah, I don't know why.
God, it's savage, man. I don't enjoy watching them. It makes me uncomfortable.
No, it makes me so uncomfortable. It makes me so... When you're talking about like the balls being inflated and it's like, I don't like this.
It's even the crossfire. It's like everyone's getting it. Not just Tom Brady. Everyone is getting it there. I don't know, man. It's a chaotic energy. What is your green light this week, Jamie?
Okay. I have two green lights. The first one, speaking of comedy, it's so good. This might be my favorite stand-up special of all time. And it's Alex Edelman on Just For Us on HBO Max. Now, if you like Mike Birbiglia, like storytelling comedy, stage shows that kind of are based on a theme, but you chase some rabbits and you always circle back, then you will love this. This was produced by Mike Birbiglia. The theme of the show was birthed out of Alex creating a Twitter list of white supremacists who were harassing him online. And then he named the list that they were giving money to a Jewish foundation. And it made them so mad because they're like, I've never given money to a foundation. And but in that list, one of the white supremacists ends up saying, we're going to have a meeting tonight. Does anybody want to come? Here's the address in Queens. Here's the time. And so Alex decides to go to this meeting of neo-Nazis just to see like, what's up? Like, what's up? How's it going? And, chaos ensues. Okay. The people he meets there, the lessons he learns about them, about himself. It is so funny. I've already watched it twice. It is fantastic. Several listeners have recommended it on Instagram when we do our Smooch, Marry, Kill, and when we do our green lights, have said this is amazing, and they are right. This is a fantastic stand-up special. Then my second green light is a brand new book called The Ministry of Time by Kayleigh-Ann Bradley. This is my Venn diagram of genres. It's time travel, it's a thriller, and it's a slow burn romance. So in the near future, a civil servant is offered the salary of her dreams and is shortly afterward told what project she will be working on, which is a recently established government department that is gathering kind of refugees from across history, not from across the world, because they're trying to establish, can they engage in time travel all the time? So they bring these five people from the past to live in a little bit in the future London and see how they can function. Now, the great part of this is the main character is tasked with being kind of a handler of one of these five people. So she has to live with, monitor. He's known as 1847 because that's where he's from. And his name is Commander Graham Gore. The best part of this is that Commander Graham Gore is a real person. If you watch The Terror on AMC, then you might be familiar with his story. He's a lieutenant who was in Sir John Franklin's doomed 1845 expedition to the Arctic. And the way that this author sits with Commander Gore as he adjusts to all these changes 200 years in the future, it is a delight. It's a first person telling, which I don't always love of a main character, but she is writing to an unnamed stranger about all the things that occurred in this period of her life. And my favorite part, and the reason I even knew about this book, is because A24 is producing a 6-part series based on this book. And I cannot wait. They're partnering with the BBC. This book is, I just want to read it again. And the cover's dope. Everything about it was great.
My green light this week is the movie The Fall Guy. By David Leitch, and I think written by Drew Pierce. It stars obviously Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt. This you know, I don't know if Challengers necessarily felt like a kickoff to the summer movie season, as much as it got moved and it was here. This feels like the announcement that summer movies are here, because it's such a good time. This is such a fun movie. It's, you know, it's really a love letter to stuntmen. They've said that in the marketing. I didn't realize that when I first started watching the trailer, but when you see the movie, you truly see how much David Leitch wants to respect. He started off as a stuntman in Hollywood. There's arguably too many stunts, I would say. If I had a note, I'd be like, maybe chill out the stunts a little bit and focus more on Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt, who their chemistry is incredible. Them together is incredible. This is part action comedy, part rom-com, part little bit of a detective mystery, and then just tons of stunts. Aaron Taylor Tyler Johnson is in this, doing an incredible Matthew McConaughey at a certain point. Honestly, he does an impression of a cowboy. He's not saying I'm doing McConaughey, but he's doing McConaughey. It's one of the spookiest things I've ever heard. He's incredible. Hannah Waddingham is in this from Ted Lasso. She steals every single scene she's in. She's incredible. But this is just a throwback. Jamie, you were saying we want the movies to survive. We want to see good original movies. This is a good, I mean, I think this is adapted from something, but it, essentially, you know, it's an original-ish movie. This is what we can get when we get those. Just lots of fun, a good time, great action stuff, but also just really leveraging the likability of Emily Blunt and the intense likability of Ryan Gosling, who he's at his best when he's playing that, like, I'm decent. I'm kind of good at something, but I'm down on my luck and things aren't going great for me. That's his perfect sweet spot. You know, start at the nice guys. You could argue Ken from the Barbie movies there. And then this is just another iteration of that kind of character. It's so tremendous. I can't recommend it enough. Okay, that's going to do it for this episode of the podcast. I'm Furry Garmin. Every time you're doing shopping on Amazon, make sure to go to amazon.com/shop/thepodcast. First, you purchase these are affiliate link for our purchase using that link to subscribe. Jamie, these are Expo dry erase markers.
Are these your favorite?
No, these are not. They're fine. No. They're good.
Well, they have 4.6 stars with 95,000 ratings. God, how much money has Expo got? That's a lot of markers. But I will say, one of the questions asked on the item was, I have a large reusable wall calendar from a picture frame with plexiglass. Will these markers erase so I can update monthly? Three people responded. First, Sarah L. said, maybe. Good. That's helpful, Sarah. Then R. Hamilton responded, don't know. Also helpful. And then finally, Philly Cheese Eagle replied, I can't imagine it would. So, all right, you guys, great job. Guys, don't forget, it's Mother's Day week. We want you to take our mom quiz. Let us know, too. You can share on Instagram and tag us. We would love it. Know what kind of mom you are. And I'm Jamie Golden. I'm a Bucky's mom. You can find me on the internet at Jamie B. Golden.
I'm Knox McCoy. I'm not a mom. I'm just Knox. You can find me on the internet, Knox McCoy. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.
Bye, guys.